So, good morning. Good morning. Don't know if you're aware, but you are all what we call church planters. Okay? The Vineyard is a church planting movement. We plant churches because we've got a fantastic story to tell. We want people to know that precious truth that Jesus loves them. Whatever the state of their lives, whatever's been going on in their history, Jesus loves them and he forgives them. And what the strategic way we like to do this is to plant churches. And we've done it for years. So back in the late 80s, John and Eleanor Mumford were planted out of Anaheim Vineyard in the States into London. Alice and I joined them there. We were then planted out of London up to Leeds 9-10 years later. And then about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, we planted out Harrogate and Sheffield. And that's all part of what you do as a community. We've got news for you about a couple of new church plants coming. So first of all, I want you to hear from Ben and Kate and Sam and Joseph. Do you want to come up? How about a welcome? So these guys have got some news for you. What's been going on in your life?
Okay, so last summer we were at a place called Ashburnham. We were a week away, a holiday away. And it's a great place for listening to God and hearing what God's saying. To a certain extent, we were slightly surprised by what God said, but also very excited. So it started with me responding to having a blueprint, God giving us a blueprint. And God instantly gave me a blueprint in my mind. And I was intrigued by that. And what was it God was inviting us to be part of? And as we just lifted everything to God, said, well, whatever you want us to do, we'll do over the next couple of months. And in September, we concluded the only thing that what this blueprint is for and what God asking us to do is this blueprint is a church that Jesus wants to put in place. So we're, oh, that means we're going to go and plant a church. And then it was like, great. So where is that going to be? And again, we sought God and said, we only want to do this if we want to be following you all the time. So where do you want us to go? And there was a number of options, a number of thoughts. We had a few places in mind. We visited a few places. And then in January, we were at National Leaders Conference, and there was a very, very specific things that meant that we knew exactly where we needed to go. So, you know, we said, so God basically said, you're right, you're going to Edinburgh and you're going to plant a church there.
Yeah. That exciting or what? It's a bit of a change of plan for us all, to be honest. Wasn't in the 5 year program when we talked about it a year ago, but it's really exciting. Kate, tell us what you think this will look like.
Ace. It's going to be Brill. We basically want it. What we want to see is hundreds and hundreds of people come to know Jesus for the first time. So, the blueprint that Ben got in his mind from Jesus is how we're going to do it. So, which often you don't. We're sort of like putting meat on that blueprint at the moment. We're kind of just figuring out what that looks like, but we'll be doing lots of stuff in the community, meeting people where they're at, and just working to the blueprint that that God gave Ben. So I haven't really got time to tell you what that blueprint is at the moment, but ask us.
Tell us very quickly about the boys and the timing and all that.
Okay, so Sam finishes GCSEs next July, not this July, but the next. So our plan is for we step down off our roles here this July, and we spend a year sort of just training and getting all the things that we need to learn to go do this. And so we'll be traveling around everywhere. And we move, hopefully, get house there, not this July, but next July.
Wow. What do you think, Sam and Joseph? Are you looking forward to this? Yeah. Is this yeah? Okay, great. Right. So they're available for you to go and quiz them, ask them, what do you mean you're going to move home because Jesus gave you a blueprint? What's all that about? If you want to know more, come and ask them. Very quickly, those of you who know these guys and want to pray for them, let's come and pray for them. Just stand down here. Quickly, come out. Come and pray for them. If you're on the staff team, particularly in leadership group, come down here. Come on, let people get round you. Come and gather right round them, round the back. This wasn't in the plan, but I think we need to pray for them. Some of you stay sitting. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your call on this family. We bless them, we love them, and we affirm everything you're doing. So I ask your Holy Spirit to come now. If you've got a word for them or something you want to say, just share it now. Just shout it out. You probably can't hear if you're sitting at the back, but they're praying for them, and they're speaking words of encouragement and scripture over them. They're prophesying over them and praying for them. The teenagers are going out, but Ian and Hannah are coming up. Just want to, the excitement just keeps building. It just, we can't contain ourselves. We get to worship God. We get to hear truth from his word. We get to hear about people hearing from hearing from him and obeying and going off and doing amazing things. And then we get more people who are hearing from God and obeying and doing amazing things. This is Ian and Hannah who have who have Sam, who's out there somewhere, hopefully, and another on the way, as I think you can tell. What's the timings?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Very good.
I should have known that.
Yeah. Pardon?
I should have known that.
Well, you'd know it. I didn't ask you. I asked her. It's okay. Tell us, Ian, what did God say to you? And because you've moved to Bradford. They moved to Bradford. Why would you do such a thing?
I was asked that question yesterday as well. So I was driving home probably about 2 years ago from... I'm being interrupted. No, I'll do my bit first. I was driving home 2 years ago. I work in the centre of Bradford, and we lived in Leeds at the time. And before this, God told Hannah something, and she wouldn't tell me what it was. So I'm driving home, and God said... It was almost like an invitation. You can stop and you can listen. I've got something to tell you if you want to hear it. And at first I was kind of like, I don't really want to hear that because it sounds quite heavy duty. And then I got to the point where I couldn't drive any longer. I had to stop the car to listen. And the whole time that it was very, very relaxed and invitational. There was nothing felt forced, which is very important for me. And, I felt God, must have been there for about half an hour. It felt like 2 minutes. And God said to me, you look into move house just now. I think you need to look at Bradford. And then I thought, I'll pray into that a bit more. And it was about church planting in Bradford. And that felt a bit heavy. So that's what happened to start with.
So prior to this, I was in the garden at my parents' house. We were living there. We'd sold our house. We didn't know why we'd sold our house, really. And we were living, at my mum and dad's. And I was in the garden with Samuel one morning, and God spoke to me very clearly and said, I want you to go to church plant in Bradford. And I was like, no chance. I hate Bradford. And I'm not church planting. That's no, thank you very much. And he's like, well, actually, that's what you're called to do. And I was like, I'm not telling Ian because he'll just freak. And I also think I'm going quite insane. So I think you should tell him separately to me, and I won't tell him what I think you've said. But so I said to Ian, God's spoken to me quite clearly today. But I'm not going to tell you what exactly it is, because if I'm going nuts, then that will be clear. And if I'm not, then God will be clearer. So that's what happened. And I was sat at home a few weeks later thinking, Ian's very late. That's unusual for Ian to not let me know. And when he walked in the door, I knew. And I thought, oh, man, I'm not going mad.
So you then decided, and you moved 10 months ago over to Bradford. Okay. And then decided to have another baby. So that's slightly... That affects your plans sometimes. So we're going to hear from you more in the coming months as things turn out. Just give us one one thing that you that's turned your heart towards Bradford, something that you think you might do or that your church might look like one day?
I think what's been clear for us is we've laid everything down before God and said, we can't do this without you. It's a very hard city, actually. It's very different to Leeds, and it hasn't got the investment that Leeds has. It's not as attractive. But actually, as we've moved there, we have begun to slowly, piece by piece, like it a little bit more and start to love it a little bit more. And actually, God's been speaking to us very, very clearly. So it can only be God that has been changing us more and more. It's been clear from the beginning it's about family and what does family look like in church, and helping people to discover family in church. So we're thinking about things like a Belly Buttons Bradford maybe. And I know Liverpool Vineyard do it, what's it called, the Grow Baby, and linking to that. And we're also thinking from maybe September doing a Sunday brunch once a month or something like that, just seeing what family looks like in that context.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Ian and Hannah. God bless you. So you'll have a chance. They've got an amazing catalogue of stories of things that God said to them about this, which is just a fantastic story. Do collar them and talk to them about it, and in months to come, we'll get a chance to pray for them properly. And just in case you just weren't excited enough. You just weren't. So I think we got such good value out of Leeds Vineyard this morning already. We could go and it'd be all fine. I've got more for you. Even more. And I've got Dr. Alex Griffin from, come up here. You need to come up here. From the Sheffield Vineyard. We got rid of them. I mean, we sent them out to plant back in 2012, I think it was, wasn't it? Yes, it was, Alex. And they pastored a wonderful church at Sheffield Vineyard that some of you will have visited, and you're all welcome to visit. You're not welcome to stay. You belong here. Okay. So I just want to pray for him as he ministers to us. Lord, I thank you for Alex and for Karen and their family and what they did and their ministry to us in those years with us, and how wonderful they were here. And we were sad to lose them, but we celebrate in what they've done and where they've gone. And we ask you to come now and fill Alex with your Holy Spirit and give him your peace. And may you give him a word for us today. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Alex. So Karen sat down here, and Karen and I lead Sheffield Vineyard. And we and our two children were planted out, as David says, about 3.5 years ago. And I'd like to tell you this morning how it came that we were planted out, a few things that we've learnt on track, and actually, most importantly, I'd like to say that actually this is something that applies to all of you, all church planters. Just to give you some context, I'll explain who I am. I'll start in our formative years. You see, Karen and I both grew up in Farnborough, in Hampshire, as children, and we went to the same nursery together. Yeah. It wasn't for very long, though, because I was expelled for bad behaviour. And then we went to the same infant school, but again, not for very long, because Karen then moved to Italy and Singapore and Germany, whilst I didn't. Karen then returned at the age of 11 and went to a boarding school where boys were never allowed. And I'd like to say that I never illegally jumped over the perimeter wall to see her, but I was expelled from nursery. I mean, what do you expect, really? So when Karen was 16, she was let loose. She was allowed out of school of weekends. And it was during this time that she came along to a church youth group, the same one that I also went to, and so that we could snog in a boiler room. We're here. There we are. I later moved to Huddersfield, Preston and Liverpool to study architecture. At the same time, Karen moved to Leeds to do medicine, and we went to what was then called the North Leeds Vineyard. I then finished university. I moved to Leeds and I got a job, a house. Karen and I got married all within 2 weeks because we wanted to progress from snogging to other activities as soon as possible. But it was during this time in Leeds that we started to come along to this church. And we were here for a long time, as David says, up until about 3.5 years ago when we moved to Sheffield to plant Sheffield Vineyard. And it was really just four of us. Last week we had a service and there were more than 80 people there. And the service was followed by three baptisms, including an Iranian refugee. And next week, I'm off to Switzerland because Cara and I lead a French-UK partnership which exists to bring about an association of vineyard churches in France. And it's got to the point where I'm having to learn French. So I don't know how we've got ourselves into that position. It's just the way it's been. But it has been a wonderful time these last 3.5 years. So I want to tell you really on reflection. This is how it sort of began with Karen and I about planting churches. You see, I think there was an element of God leading us. There was direction, and there was an element of personal choice. There was both direction and freedom. I would say that God was more prescriptive when it came round to timing, for us at least, and less prescriptive when it came round to location. And see, in terms of time, we felt for many years, God was saying yes, but not yet. But he made it very clear, actually, when it was the right time for us to start packing our bags. In terms of location, we felt God was happy for us to choose. We were drawn towards Sheffield, really, because it was one of the largest cities at that time without a vineyard church. And it had one of the highest ratios of non-church attendance in the UK. In other words, we felt that Sheffield posed one of the greatest problems in the UK in terms of church growth. And it was a question of game on, really. But with, I think, with direction and freedom comes, on our part, obedience and risk-taking. One fundamental prerequisite for us going was to have David and Alison's approval. And in fact, I remember they seemed rather eager, if I recall. Alison said, "Yeah, whatever, just go." And David said, "Excellent. We'll make sure there's a big party to see you off." Although we weren't actually invited. So, anyway, but despite their blessing and having a number of prophetic confirmations and generally feeling good about the whole idea, there remained, I think especially in me, that sort of underlying question. Is God really wanting for us to plant a church in Sheffield, is the underlying question. We never received a letter from God, you know, outlining our future. There was, for us, a great leap of faith to be taken. But on balance, we felt more certain that God wanted us to go than to stay, so we went. Inherent, I would say, to church planting is both obedience and risk. Obedience means we only go when he wants us to go. We only go where he permits. Risk means we place God's intentions above our own. It means placing God in front of our career, our friendships, and our possessions, all of which we've lost out on greatly. Risk in terms of church planting means that we're prepared to follow God even though we don't know where he's going to take us. Embarking on risk means doing whatever it takes to avoid the terrible consequences of inaction. But about a year ago, I was wandering with my two boys around the city centre in Sheffield. And I saw four pillars. And they were sort of on the edge of the less salubrious parts of Sheffield city centre. They marked an entrance into the city centre area. And on the top of each of these four pillars was a griffin. It was one of those mythical creatures, with a body of a lion and a head and wings of an eagle. And it happens to be my family name. And when I saw that, I immediately thought, and I don't normally have these sorts of feelings from God, and I immediately thought that, one, God was saying, absolutely, it's right for you to be here right now. And two, that there was four of them there. Your children are every bit the part of the church planting team as Karen and I are. You see, our children, they chose to leave school. They chose to leave their friends. They were not cajoled. They were not coerced into moving. We discussed the benefits and the disbenefits of moving house to a new city, to a place where we were not familiar with. We considered the implications of it, and they decided that they wanted to come along. They made that decision themselves. And so when I feel that things aren't going very well, and whenever I doubt as to whether God is wanting us to do this thing or not, all I need to do is to look at these four pillars in the middle of Sheffield. And God says to me, it is my intention, it's set in stone. Catherine Scott of Causeway Coast Vineyard put it much more eloquently than ever I could. She said, you have to know on the really hard days that it's the Lord who whispers into your soul. And so my advice to anyone who's wanting to plant a church is this. Do not plant a church unless you strongly feel that God wants you to do it. And by the same time, do not wait until you are perfect and everything is prepared before you start, because if you wait for that, you are likely to never go at all. But, I'm guessing that many of you haven't come here because you're wanting to, in the next couple of years, move city and plant a church somewhere else, rather like these others that we've heard about today. And you might be thinking at this stage, this is all very well, it's all very interesting, and it helps me to perhaps, pray for and support, these elect few. But really, it has nothing much to do with me. It's interesting, but it doesn't apply to my life. Well, now I have news for you. You see, I think that everyone in this room needs to hear this message. They need to hear what it is to be a church planter, because it does apply to every one of you. Absolutely it does. I think that if you don't see yourselves as church planters, then Leeds Vineyard will not grow. And the kingdom of God will suffer for it. And so my job right now is to convince you in the next 10 minutes that in fact you are church planters, and to better prepare you for church planting than ever you were before arriving. And I shall start that process by telling you a little bit more about the vineyard as a church planting movement. It's been around for 35 years, something like that. There's around about 1,500 churches in the world now, vineyard churches in the world, and there's about 120 in the UK. And so if you were to get the list of fastest growing church movements ever to have existed, the vineyard would be very, very high up on that list. Why? Because I think that it consciously endeavours to plant and grow new churches, and it would appear that God is blessing us in that area. I think that expanding the kingdom of God is what the church is all about. If I were to define the purpose of the church, I would say that it is this: to worship God, to communicate the gospel, and disciple people in word and practice. That's the reason why we do this. In Matthew 28, 29 and 30, Jesus gives his mandate. When he had skin on, you know, he was around, just before he went, this was his sort of, he left this, you know, oh, remember this bit. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And in my view, the best way to communicate the gospel, the best way to provide an environment whereby God is worshipped, and the best way to disciple people in word and practice is through the church. It is the most effective way of doing that. I think God has made a decision, and the decision is this, that rather than building the church by himself, he's decided to do it through us, with us. He's decided to work alongside us and rely on other people to do the church building with him. And so, you, being the church, it is incumbent upon you to do the job of a church planter. You are required to go and make disciples of all nations. You are required to baptize others in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you are required to teach others and obey everything that he has already taught you. I think that this whole church planting idea, notion, is a bit like sailing a ship. In a big sailing ship, there's a huge variety of jobs that need to be done. You need to keep a lookout for land and icebergs and pirates. You need to cook and serve the food. There are others who need to keep tabs on supplies and ensure that provisions are there to last the full journey. There are others who hoist sails and pull ropes and other things that I know very little about. But my impression, having watched Pirates of the Caribbean, is that there are lots of different things that people on ships do in order for the boat to head into the right direction and for the crew to remain healthy. Albeit Pirates of the Caribbean is not a good example of healthy living, but you know what I'm getting at anyway. So in principle, the church behaves in a very, very similar way to this. There are some people here who serve tea and coffee. There are some people here who teach the children. Others, outside the building, talk to their friends and neighbours about their relationship to Jesus. Some people buy stuff for the homeless. Some people raise their children in godly environments. And that's how the boat works. Various people doing various things. There is one thing that no one can do. There's one thing that no one's in control of, and that's the wind. And without the wind, the boat goes nowhere. You may have the best captain. You may have the best cooks. You may be the best rope-pulling people there are, but without the wind, the ship will be stagnant, and it will just drift around. And the same is the case with the church. Church growth is solely at the discretion of God, and there's nothing much that we can do about growing the church. This is Bible. But Paul said exactly this to the Corinthian church, early doors of the existence of the church. He said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And we must know that it is never our job to manufacture the wind, as it were, as though that could ever be possible. Instead, it is our job to sail the vessel in the seas of his making. It's God alone who grows the church, and our job is to follow his spirit as he moves. And I've noticed that in our very short experience of doing this, that when we have been responsive to the movement of God, the church grows, it does well, there's fruits to be had. And when we haven't done that, then the opposite is true as well. And so my point is that you all here have a job to do, and your job is very, very important. You are church planters. So I want to leave you with a picture of church planting, one which sort of, we have a version of this ourselves, and it drives Karen and I and myself to do this. You see, sometime in the future, a lady will walk through the doors of Leeds Vineyard on a Sunday morning, and she will be accompanied by her partner and her three children and his elderly mother. One of the children is in her teens, she has tattoos, and she very clearly doesn't want to be here. The other two are much younger and rather shy. But they're greeted by someone with a smile who says, "Hello, I've not seen you here before. Are you new?" She says yes, and they have a chat, and she's welcomed over to the newcomer's lounge area, where there are leather sofas reserved for guests. And a waiter serves them breakfast without asking if they'd like it, because they know full well that, you know, people don't say yes to things that are offered to them if they're for free. And the welcomer explains what's going to be happening during the course of the morning. And she tells them that there's some kids groups. And the kids group area is huge. There is a soft play zone, a skate park, a climbing wall, a bouncy castle, and a bowling alley. And the young kids run off because they love bouncy castles and they forget about the parents. But the parents are okay with that because they can see their kids through a huge glass soundproof wall which doubles up as an aquarium. The older girl is tapped on the shoulder by someone called Zach. Zach also has tattoos. Zach looks really cool and they wonder if there's a boiler room nearby. The elderly mother is told that there is a coffee morning, every morning, at the bowls club. And all she needs to do is ring up Harry, the taxi driver, and just tell him the time to pick her up. The husband then turns to the welcomer and asks, does your church do other things, like for the poor and stuff? And the welcomer laughs. And she says that Leeds Vineyard is one of the stakeholders in the multi-denominational church-based Christian organization that has just bought the Arndale Center and developed it into a new drug and alcohol rehabilitation center, a training center, a nursery run by mothers who have fled from violent partners, and it runs a translation service for refugees, amongst other things. And then the lights dim, and someone walks onto the stage, and the service begins. The worship band start praising God, and 1,000 people stand up and worship the Lord. And the presence of God fills the auditorium, and the visitors are struck with a sense of awe, something that they've not experienced before, a sense of love. And whilst they're sitting on their sofa, they wonder, what is this? How has this come to be? Who has enabled this moment to be in existence? What did it take to get to this place? Who pioneered this? Who are the people who brought this into being? And the answer is you. You are the church planters who are currently bringing about this vision of Leeds Vineyard. I believe, having prayed about this ever so slightly, that God is calling us all here to work alongside him to develop a very large church and many other churches besides. That together with churches all across Leeds will bring about a new sense of culture in the city. A culture that will change many lives for the better. And you are the church planters of today. that will make the life-changing difference to that couple who are sitting on this leather sofa in the future. My question really is to you all is, would you like a church with an aquarium wall? Why don't we stand up? And, darling, would you like to come and join me? We're going to pray. And we're just going to ask God to impregnate in us this notion of the excitement, the wonder, the glory that it is for church planting and how it will affect other people in the future. So we welcome you here now, Spirit. We welcome you here, God. We just come, please come and bless us. Lord, will you raise our expectations? Will you let us see the plans that you have for your church? We'd love to see the way in which you're moving amongst us, moving in this city, how your wind is blowing, and we'd simply like to respond in unison with yourself. Nothing more, nothing less. You've made it quite blatantly clear that it is your desire for everyone to know you intimately as a child. You've made it abundantly clear that you would wish to work with us for that change to happen. And so perhaps afresh for the first time, or maybe for the umpteenth time, we give our lives back over to you. And we say, Leeds is lost without the likes of me. There is no hope other than the church. And I am part of that church. And so I will get my hands dirty. I will do the bidding that you have for me to do. Even if it costs, even if I don't really know what it will entail, I'm up for it. I'm not in the business of just supporting, you know, the people who's got their names on the brass plaque. No, I want to do much more than that. I want to get involved. I want to be a church planter myself. I want to plant and develop and help God grow churches in my little way.
There's a little verse in James, I can't quite remember where it is actually, but I can find it for you afterwards, where there's a sort of a challenge, and he sort of says, well, if you want to know what God's got for you, then you need to ask him.
1:5.
Alex tells me it's James chapter 1, verse 5. And but that's essentially what it says. I'm paraphrasing it a bit. It's quite a special verse for Alex. It's not that he just remembers the whole of the book of James.
Darling. Yeah.
But my sense very much was that there's some people who are just at that point thinking, well, what can I do? What can I do? You know, you look around and you see this person's doing this and this person's doing that and this is happening and that's happening, you're thinking, but what about me? Well, if that's you and you're thinking, what about me, then you need to be asking God, what about me? And if you've got just like a little idea that you want to run with, you know, you've got a people group, you just think, you know, I just want to do something with mums. I want to do something with the elderly. I want to, I can speak another language. I want to translate. You know, if you've got that sense of, then you need to say to God, look, could I do this? Because these little senses sometimes that we get, they're promptings from the Holy Spirit. And so if you've got a little prompting like that, and I feel there's a few of you here are just thinking that and are thinking, I don't know or not, then just say to God, you know, what is it you want me to do? And if you've got a sense, shall I run with this? And then just be open and look for the opportunities that are around you. And then they're not in here. They're not in here. They're not in this building, or very few of them are in this building. They're out in the street. They're in the place where you work, the school where you're at. The school playground, you know, look for the opportunities that God's giving you, and go for it. Mm. That's the sense I get. So for some of you, ask God, if you want to know the things that he's got in store for you, then ask him and start with the little things. I think if anything that Alex has said has touched you this morning, or particularly if you have that sense of, I'd really love to do something and I'm just not quite sure what, or I think I've got something that's from God and I just want to test it and run with it, then we would love to pray for you. So there's time now for you to come and we'll pray for you. And I think probably the best way to do it here is probably to come forward, since you're all sitting in boxes.
We have an altar here, don't we?
We have an altar. We don't have an altar in Sheffield.
Yes,
if you've got children and young people, then it maybe you might need to designate one person in your household to go and get the children. But that's not going to stop the rest of us. We've still got some time and we'd love to pray for you. And there'll be lots of other Leeds people who would love to come and join us and pray for you.